B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Let's go to Marin. Marin in Elkins Park. Marin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, what's up, guys? Just wanted to comment a little bit about the Carson Wentz deal. It's like, when we're talking about a franchise quarterback, all my mind goes to is comparing to other franchise quarterbacks around the league.
Right.
And there is no doubt about it. Carson Wentz is by far superior to the, you know, guy brought him up before, Derek Carr's out there. I mean, just far superior. No doubt about it. Franchise tag, hang on to him as long as you can. Calling him injury prone is just putting it out in the universe. We don't need to do that. He needs to play like Carson Wentz. He did in year two. And there's no doubt, this is just, it seems silly almost to talk about it in this way of him not being an elite quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, but I also understand where Joe's coming from. I understand where some of the callers are coming from is because he does have the injury history. The last two seasons, he's had season-ending injuries. His rookie year, he played all 16 games, but it's not like he had incredible numbers. He had some incredible games, especially early on the year, but he didn't sustain it throughout the season. But I'm with you, Marin. Like, I think this guy is a close to being an elite quarterback. I can't call him elite yet just because of the injuries, but I think he's getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, the last thing we want to do, I guess for lack of a better term, is neuter a guy like him. Obviously, you can play smarter. But at the same time, he is the way he is because of his legs, because of what he can do after the pocket breaks down. And the fact remains, that's what makes him excellent and elite in my mind.
It makes him excellent and elite, but it's also made him
better get down
injury
if he's doing
prone.
This year. Better get down. Brady
right.
gets down. Eli gets down.
It is what makes him so spectacular. That going back to the Redskins game is the Monday Night Football when the apocalypse. There was like six people on top of him, and he broke out, and then he ran 20 yards, right?
Yeah.
And that was an incredible play. But maybe this year we would probably prefer him to just fall down.
I think so.
Now, who's the name that you have post retirement?
No doubt about it, Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, that's
right.
A good one.
Very good one.
We'll put you in the running. Now, Terry Bradshaw has also won how many Super Bowls?
Joe Maron, he won four.
Four? He's a character on Fox.
He went back to back twice.
He's a character on Fox.
Yeah, he's good on Fox. Yeah, he's been
there
forever.
Now, you've seen Terry play.
Yeah.
I haven't. Would you rock?
He was good, but he had the steel curtain. And,
okay.
He did have Stallworth and Swan, so he had some good receivers. He was good.
But I guess he's right. I mean, he's also been in movies.
Oh, yeah.
He does that one. I don't know if they still do it, but he did like some sort of online TV show where he was going to different places around the world and like eating food and stuff like that. He went to Lithuania once.
Who funded that?
I don't know. He's with other people as well.
Okay.
I'll do some research for you. But yeah, Terry Bradshaw, he does a TV show where he goes to all different parts of the world and just eats food.
That's
and
a good gig,
and,
man.
And oh yeah,
that's
well
a great
it
gig.
Must he Henry Winkler is one of the guys that he's on with.
Fonz?
Yes.
Really?
Oh,
I gotta watch this show.
I gotta figure out.
Why don't you throw the Fonz in the mix?
I'll try to find this out. It's called Better Late Than Never, okay? So Better Late Than Never is the show apparently. But I'll give you some more
information. Does Fonzie travel?
Yeah, they all go together.
Nice.
It's not just him. I think there's like two other people that do it also, but I'll figure it out for you. Let's go to Jimmy and Mal Holly. Jimmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
This analyst is older than Methuselah. He was a decent, okay coach in his sport. Who am I talking about?
John Madden.
John Madden.
No, Hubie Brown.
Oh, how about that?
Good one.
You're right. He does a great job on the sideline.
Good one.
Actually, Bill Clement really should win this thing because, as Joe pointed out, he was an okay player, but, I mean, to me, he's the best ever.
Best ever.
As a color analyst.
He's the best
There's
ever.
No doubt.
He's
now, as far as Wentz, I mean, he's a franchise quarterback. I mean, there's no doubt. First of all, before I get to anything further, when Joey called before, Joey surely meant 2017. I mean, I don't know why no one's picked up on that. You fellas and a guy that's called in before me. I mean, Wentz's season last year was better than his rookie year. Joey obviously meant 2017.
Well, we said the 16 touchdown, 14 interception season to clarify with him, and he said yes.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
my bad, then.
Okay.
I didn't hear that, and I apologize to you and to the caller.
It's all right.
I mean, Wentz, you can't call him elite. I mean, until he wins a playoff game or even participates in that form, then you can. Now, I think he will this year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think if he didn't get hurt in 2017, He would have went on to win the Super Bowl. I have no in this garbage about he would have choked in the playoffs. It's nonsense. The other thing is, we would have never got the Kelce speech. So, I mean, the things had to be the way they were.
Yeah, I guess that works out, right?
Worked out this year or 2 years ago.
So you think he's not elite yet, but he's getting there?
Well, I think he's going to be. Because I think, first of all, I think he's going to stay healthy. I mean, the specter of Nick is now out of his hair. So I think he's going to go on to do what he did in 2017. Now, whether that wins the Super Bowl, that remains to be seen. I mean, I don't want to see those Saints, and I don't want to see Chicago in a double-doink revenge. Now, I mean, and Reese Hoskins really needed the day off last night, didn't he?
Big performance.
Yeah, I was wrong about that one, Jimmy.
Well, I mean, you're very wrong. You're very rarely wrong about baseball issues. But the thing with baseball is, as you know, Andrew, better than me and most, is that when you play every night, you can shake things off from day to
very
day.
Very quickly.
Like others. Plus, they have the day off today. I mean, in fact, I'm critical of Gabe, but I'm actually going to praise him a bit. See, if someone doesn't hustle, that should be an instant benching. You're out of the game, sit down. But in the case of Hoskins, I had no problem with him going to him and asking him how he felt. Do you think you need the day off? So I'm okay with the whole decision-making process.
Yeah, I hear you, Jimmy, and I appreciate the call. Here's my biggest problem was he was hurting your team offensively and defensively. Like, he was hurting your team. He was negatively affecting the Phillies, Reese Hoskins was. And they asked Gabe Kapler during the post-game media press conference 2 nights ago, should Reese Hoskins play or should Reese Hoskins have a day off? And he said, I'll ask Reese about that. What do you think a 26-year-old is going to say? He's going to say, no, I want to play, coach.
And he asked him, do you think you need a day off? Will a day off help?
And he's going to say, no, I want to play.
Which I like.
Yes. But if he came out there last night, which he didn't, he went 2-for-4. He had the triple in the second inning of that game and ended up scoring a run. But if he went 0-for-4 again, then does Gabe Kapler say, all right, no, this guy needs a day off? Or is he once again going to go, hey, Reese, do you want a day off again? Like, would that be a constant cycle, constant conversation they have after every single game where
no,
he struggles?
At that point, I think Gabe says, Reese, I'm going to sit you down.
I'm going to give you a day off today.
Yeah, I'm going to give you
because you went 0-for-4 again today.
Yeah.
But fortunately for the Phils yesterday, fortunately for Reese, and I love it. Like, I love Reese Hoskins. I think he can be a hell of a baseball player. He had a terrible month of May last year where he hit below 200. He's having a terrible month of August where he's hitting just over 120 at this point after his two hits yesterday. I love Reese Hoskins. I think he can be a really good ball player. Do I think he's a four-hole hitter? No, I think eventually he's a five-hole guy, maybe even a sixth hitter in the lineup with some pop that we could see one day. But he's your everyday first baseman when this core is intact, when this team eventually makes it to the World Series. Do I think he should have sat yesterday? I do. Am I glad I'm wrong? Of course I am. I'm glad that he went 2-for-4 and provided the way that he did.
We both thought he should have sat. So yeah. I was pumped when I saw what he did. It takes guts. I mean, you know, these guys are supremely confident in their abilities,
right?
Because you think with the month he's having at the plate, and then he clunks a ball the other night that cost him the game in the ninth inning, you know, that, you know, can do wonders with your confidence in a negative way, and you might want to pack it in for a day or
right.
whatnot, not come back to the field. You might be a little skittish. And so, you know, lacking of confidence that you have no idea what you're doing at the plate anymore. And, you know, even in the field, probably questions his own abilities. But no, he said no. He was adamant about it,
yeah.
too. I don't need a day off. It won't help.
Strong answer.
Got to keep coming out.
The best part.
Take your hacks.
The best part was the baseball show was at 6 o'clock yesterday. And the Phillies, because it was the final game of the series, getaway day for the Pirates, I went up against the game. The game was at 6 o'clock. And I opened the show with, I said it word for word. I was like, I'm going to be critical of Gabe Kapler and Reese Hoskins today, but I guarantee you he goes 4-for-4 tonight, and I'm going to end up sounding like an idiot. And midway through that show, around 6:30, it was at 6:39 because Ricky Pitalico was on the show, and we were actually ripping the fact that Reese was in the lineup. It was the same thing as you and I were talking about during the midday show yesterday. We were saying we both agreed that he should not have been in the lineup yesterday. And at the end of the interview, I'm watching because I had the game on the TV here. He hits a triple. I'm like, Ricky, you wouldn't believe it. But the guy just hit a triple. All of a sudden, Twitter blows up. Ah, shouldn't have played today, huh? This tweet aged well. Love that.
He has 5 triples this year.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's amazing because we talked about how slow he is.
Yes. Yeah, we had a caller yesterday.
The
caller said he doesn't hustle. It's like, no, he hustles. He's just slow.
He also said he kind of implied that he's a little chunky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which he's not.
He's just big boned.
Yeah.
Big bone.
Soft.
Big bone.
He's not chiseled, but yeah.
Yeah.
Big, big bone, right.
He can still lift more than, well, more than me. Maybe not more than you.
That's what you call fat girls, right? Big boned.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. One open line, 610-632-0975. By the way, the show was better late than ever, like I said. It was Terry Bradshaw, Henry Winkler, and William Shatner. And they went around the world. They went to Hong Kong. They went to Bangkok. They went to Tokyo. Chiang Mai they went to. They went to Lithuania, like I mentioned. And all they did was just stroll the streets. They learned about the cultures. And they ate all the weirdest foods there was.
And what was the premise of the show? You remember? Is it just about, you know, places around the world, exotic places? Or is it about testing food around the world?
Let's see. They embark on an international adventure in hope of having a life-changing experience.
So they're walking around hoping something happens.
You know what it is? They all have money. They're all famous.
And they have time.
An excuse to make a TV show. And get paid for said TV show.
Unbelievable.
That's what the premise
was. That's a big name lineup. You got the Fonz. You got Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw.
Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Four rings.
That's awesome.
That's absolutely a
great show. Yeah, you're going to have to check it out. All right, 610-632-0975. He's Joe Stazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Midday Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony Jason off the rest of the week. Joe Stazak to my left. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until 2 o'clock before Charles Barkley is in studio for 4 hours with Mike Mussinelli, which is just awesome. So that's some of the fun that we're having today. We're talking about Carson Wentz and whether or not you're going to give him the elite tag yet, or if he's close to getting the elite tag. Obviously, all of us, I think, did you call him elite 2 years ago before getting hurt?
No.
No, you weren't there yet.
No, I wasn't there yet.
Okay, I was.
Okay.
And I think
he was elite that year, but again, I can't give him an overall eliteness. It looked like he was going to be
okay,
an elite quarterback, let's say.
I was calling him elite, like, that season. And then when he gets down, when he gets hurt, and then when he gets hurt 2 years in a row, sometimes you have to change
sure
how you feel. I mean, you look at the quarterback. I have a quarterback rankings list. All you know this is Glenn Clark. Are you a big Glenn Clark fan? Pressboxonline.com?
No.
I have no idea who he is. But he has his quarterback rankings, and he has where he was ranked last year compared to this year, that kind of stuff. So you can always make those changes. You can change how you feel about certain quarterbacks. And Carson Wentz, I had the elite tag next to him 2 years ago, but because of two season-ending injuries in a row and the idea that he is injury-prone, I still have him above average, but I don't have him elite anymore. But I thought he was going to be elite 2 years
ago. Looked like he was headed that way.
Yes. So what is your tag? Do you think he's close to being an elite quarterback? How much more do you need to see out of him? We had a guy say that all he needs to see was a full season and the rookie numbers that he put up, 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
Nope, not good enough.
That's not good enough. I need healthy. I need more than last year's numbers, 21-7. Let's see, like he gets a 30.
Of course you do. We only played 11 games, but yeah.
Yeah, so I still need more than what he gave you last year, but if he's close to, do you need him to do exactly what he was doing 2 years ago?
Close. You know, the average margin of victory in those 13 games he played was 15.
Yeah.
15.
Well, we never really saw that fourth quarter drive from him because they never had to.
That's my point. I need to see
Denver by 50 points.
I need to see that too. Because the Tennessee game last year, I thought he could have finished better. Our Carolina game had a drive, an opportunity, didn't finish. I need to see that in my quarterback. I know. Go ahead.
I got. Nobody really ripped me for it, but the Carolina game last year when they gave up the 21-point lead.
Yeah.
Yes, the defense deserves blame for that. Did Carson do anything the second half of that game?
No.
Did the Eagles' offense do anything the second half of that game or the fourth quarter?
No. Everyone's ripping the defense, but the offense had opportunities in between those three touchdowns to do something.
Does the defense get blamed for that? Of course. They gave up four touchdowns in the second half of the game.
Three.
But nobody said anything about the offense.
Oh, you're right.
They deserve blame
I've
that
said
game.
It before. They absolutely
They took their
blame.
Foot off the gas pedal.
17 points wasn't enough. They did nothing.
Yeah.
And he had a drive. He had a couple drives where they were like five and out in between. Clock was running down. And then they had the one drive. at the end of the game, get to the 21, I think, looks off Wendell Smallwood, tries to hit Alshon, incomplete, and the next play.
I remember that Smallwood was wide open, with room to run.
And he looked at him, too. It wasn't like he couldn't see him.
Right in the flat,
looked him off, and then threw into double coverage.
Yeah. I remember, wow, I remember that. It's stuff that we remember, right?
Yeah, remember he banged his fist on the door walking in?
Yeah.
That was the game.
He has a lot to improve on, especially after last year, but I think he's going to come in healthy this season. Yes, there's going to be rust. I'm not going to give him as much time to shake off the rust as you. You said 3 weeks?
Well, again, 3 weeks until I start criticizing the,
I'm giving him a half,
the big
man.
Picture. The big picture.
You said you didn't need preseason. Preseason isn't necessary.
I'm giving him a half.
Yeah. He said the words preseason is not necessary. And, okay, I was fine with him not playing in the preseason, but you can't go out there 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks and look rusty. I know you haven't played in nine months.
I agree.
That's why you maybe should have gone out there for a series to get some game speed under your belt.
Would a series have helped, though?
Probably not.
Yeah.
He'd probably need more.
See, that's the thing. In preseason, the starters, they don't play him a whole lot anyway, so I'm not sure, you know, how much. I'm sure it helps a little bit. But, I mean, they're not playing that much anyway. They get yanked
quickly. I just love the people that are saying, oh, come on, man. It's just the Redskins week one. Well, what if they lose to the Redskins?
Can't say that. It's the NFL.
It's a divisional round.
It's the NFL.
Divisional game. It's the first game of the season where Carson Wentz hasn't played in 9 months.
Right.
So it's going to be rusty. He's not, just because the Redskins doesn't mean he's going to go out there and throw 4 touchdowns and 0 picks. He could. I think he's close to an elite quarterback, so he very well could. But, yeah, of course I'm going to be a little concerned going into week one. He hasn't played in nine months.
My biggest concern is him.
Yes. Oh, of course. They're
going into that game.
Yes. All right, let's go to Mark and Alney. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark. We'll put Mark on hold. Let's go to Hassan in South Philly. Hassan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Drew, Joe, how you guys doing?
What's up, Hassan?
Yeah,
I kind of think a few things factor into that for him to. First, I think, like you said, yeah, he definitely has to get back to 2 years ago as far as his numbers. I believe, if I'm correct, they were like a top 5 scoring offense. Two things to me factor into that. Of course, him making smarter decisions. Like you said, when you need to lay down, don't try to force the play.
Right.
If the play's not there, lay down or throw the ball away. But don't take unnecessary, because like I said,
one of the things that drives me nuts is him not getting rid of the football. If it's not there, get rid of the football.
Yes.
That's why he takes some sacks, and we don't need him getting hit.
Again, I
unnecessarily.
The only reason why I brought it up about 30 minutes ago is because we've seen it. How many times have you seen him roll out right, and then instead of throwing the ball away, or instead of even just dropping down for a 1 yard loss, he's got to do the let me stick the ball out and get it 1 yard past the line of scrimmage. How many times have you seen him do that?
Plenty.
Okay. Every yard counts, right? Or what's the Al Pacino speech, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Maybe every yard does count. But, dude, if it's 1st and 10, maybe I'd rather you just throw the ball away so it's 2nd and 10 instead of trying to get that arm out so it's 2nd and 9. Like, I would rather you just throw the ball away so that nobody comes after your knee.
He's got to play smarter.
Because if you guys all know football.
People love to take shots at quarterbacks.
Exactly. And if they know that below the belt he's got some issues with the knee, I know that they don't want to admit it, but of course
he's
they're
a target.
They're going to attack the
knee.
He's
a target.
It's going to happen.
Of course. Yeah, he's got to be smart. He's got to play smarter.
And I know he's saying he's not going to change the way he plays. Listen, Carson, I love you, and I appreciate the stuff that you can do. Sometimes there's times you don't need to do it.
Here's another issue I have. Not a huge issue, but he tries to do too much. When you see him holding on to that football, he's still waiting for someone to get open.
Right.
Still waiting for someone to get open. At that point, the pocket's collapsing around
him. At that point, it's past 4 seconds.
It's past 4 seconds. You know, you don't have that much time back there. Got to get it out in under 3, 2.5 maybe. He holds on to it too long, and invariably, it ends up with him getting hit.
Yeah, and that's been the biggest problem is him getting hit. What has led to his injuries? Him getting hit. It's not non-contact injuries. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen either, but both injuries that he's had, both season-ending injuries, have been contact injuries. So just get out of the way, man. That's all.
But the whole season, we're going to be like,
Yeah, the whole time. Yeah, get up. But it goes back to Joel Embiid diving into the crowd against the Knicks.
Right.
Right, the Knicks were tanking last year.
Right.
And you were up like 10 points.
It's unnecessary.
I don't need you diving into the crowd when you're already riddled with injuries. Carson Wentz, if you're up 17-0, just throw the ball away.
Hard to turn it off, though. Hard to turn it off.
And I know that's what people love about him. Like, we had a caller earlier saying, well, that's why we love him, is because he does that kind of stuff. And then I followed up with, well, that's why he's been injured, right. Because he does that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Do we want him to dive for the pylon every once in a while? Yeah, of course. If it leads to a touchdown, of course. But when you're not even in the opponent's territory yet, if you're within your side of the 50, throw the ball away. That's all. Throw the ball away.
What would you have liked to see him do when he blew out his knee? Because he was leaping for the goal.
Oh, no, I was okay with that. Okay. Because he's diving for the touchdown. But it's sometimes the unnecessary plays that we've seen.
Sure it is.
Instead of sliding to get the first down, he's got to dive for the first down. And we all know when a quarterback dives, they are still a target. When they slide, they're giving up. When they're diving, they're not giving up yet. And that's why you see linemen or linebackers and you see safeties and you see corners still go down and try to tackle him, because he's still a live player at that point.
Yeah, when you go down the other way, the ball is spotted from where you actually start to go down.
Yeah.
Not to where you slide, even if you slid 2 yards untouched.
Right.
So they have much more time to pull up. You see what's going on, unless you got some rogue defensive back who wants to take a shot at him. But he dives forward. He's free game.
Yeah. Like
Michael Vick got hurt a lot. And then in a Redskins game, he got flushed out of the pocket, scooted around a little bit, found some open space, and then tried to leap into the goal line, cracked his ribs. He got plowed.
That'll happen. Now, I appreciate it, diving for the end zone, and that was a freak injury. You know, he got sandwiched between two linemen, or a lineman and a linebacker, and the helmet hit the knee. So that was a freak injury to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's within your own territory, don't dive. Just throw, there's ways to play safe. There really are ways to play safe if you're Carson.
He's going to put me over the top if I see him die.
One open line, 610-632-0975. And again, if you're just joining us, we have a pair of Temple football tickets for this Saturday's game against Bucknell, August 31st at 3 p.m. It's at Lincoln Financial Field. Kids tickets on game day are only $10. Visit owlsticks.com. And because Charles Barkley will be in studio with Mike Missanelli today from 2 until 6, we're doing a little side game. Who are the players that they're almost more known for their post-playing careers than they were actually players? And Charles Barkley, yes, a fantastic basketball player, phenomenal basketball player, one of the best power forwards in NBA history. But because I'm 25, I didn't really see him play. I don't know if I saw him play at all. I'm trying to think of when his career came to an end. Was it 93?
Yeah, I think it was 93. Or was he playing for Phoenix and they were playing for the title in 93?
Let's see.
Couple years afterwards, then?
I'll pull up Charles Barkley right now.
For some reason, I think they were playing the Bulls in the finals.
Oh, 99, 2000. Okay, so he was... Oh, really? He played all the way till 2000? Okay. I mean, I was alive. I was born in 93.
He wasn't Charles necessarily in those last
years. Yeah, he was with Houston for the last 4 years. So Phoenix, he stopped playing in 96. But Houston the last 4 years. So to me, Charles Barkley, obviously I know him as a great basketball player. I work in sports radio. I know Charles Barkley. But Charles Barkley is the TNT guy for a lot of people my
age.
He's the funny guy on TNT, right?
That's all you know.
Who are the guys that have really became more famous since their careers came to an end? A lot of people are giving great answers on Twitter. And going back to that Better Late Than Never TV show that I was telling you about.
Yeah.
George Foreman was also a member of that cast.
I'm telling you, that's a big name cast.
This is a must-watch show. I know it ended like 2 years ago, but
casting director should be lauded for that job.
Yes, and it's only 8 episodes because they're traveling all over the place.
Sure.
But it's definitely something to check out.
Is it still in play?
No, it finished a while ago. Yeah, they did 8 episodes.
How many seasons?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's seasons. I think it's just 8 episodes because they're all over the place. There is 2 seasons technically, but I think.
Did any life-changing events occur?
I'm sure they drank a lot, ate a lot, and their lives were changed. But somebody tweeted in saying that show was hilarious, so it's definitely worth
checking out. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are awesome. You should definitely check it out. All right, let's go to Sean in West Philly. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Fellas, how's it going?
What's up, Sean?
What's up, Sean?
What's going on? I wanted to get in on this Carson. I think that he's on his way to being elite. I think what's holding him back, besides the injuries, is just consistency. I want to say, I give him a game or so to try to get back and see how he does. But I need to see. We always say he shows flashes. I need to see at least 8 games of where he's actually consistent in being that elite quarterback that he shows flashes of.
Giving him 8 games.
Yeah, I
got killed for giving him 3.
I want to give him about a half a game or so, but I think we're looking for that consistency from him. That's what's stopping him from being a lead quarterback. The injuries are always taking him out, so we can't see him actually go through a whole season.
Yeah, but
like
Sean, how long are you giving him until you're critical? So he's saying he's going to give him 8 games to see if he's elite or not. But how long, like if he's struggling the first 2 games, are you going to start being critical or are you going to still give him time?
With him not playing football for 9 months, you got to give him at least 2 or 3 games to try to get back in the habit. The Redskins, they'll go against them. I don't know how that's going to go. The Falcons, I think that's a pretty winnable game. And then in that third game, it's like, okay,
Detroit.
Now you have two good games under your belt. Detroit should be a very winnable game as well. So if he can't come out there and he's still showing a lot of signs of rust, I don't know. I'm kind of out on it. I don't want to say I'm out on him, but I'm out on just giving him that elite title or actually giving up on him.
Well, how long is it until he gets booed? How long is it until he gets booed?
I don't think he ever will.
Let him come out that first game and throw more than 2 picks. The boo birds will definitely be out.
Really? After game one? You don't think he'll ever be booed?
I think he's kind of like a Reese Hoskins thing.
Really?
Yeah, he's our guy. People are protective of him.
I don't know.
Except from the Nick Foles fans.
If this football team isn't getting it done, isn't moving the football, isn't putting points on the board.
Are they booing him or are they booing?
He looks bad.
Are they booing him or the team?
Could be both. But yeah. If your quarterback's, you know, leading the charge and, you know, he's part of the tanking, I think he's going
to
hear it.
Sean, who's the player you got that's more famous after their career came to an end?
I had to dig back. Somebody took Chris Collinsworth from me. So I'm going to say Pat Summerall. Nobody really remembers Pat Summerall. I mean, nobody even really seen Pat Summerall play, but
as
an
kicker.
Announcer. Exactly. So to go from a kicker and be an announcer, whereas everybody knows
that's
Pat
a perfect
Summerall
answer.
It's a great answer. Because
we'll put you on hold, Sean.
He was the guy.
Yes.
John Madden.
Yes.
Our director has been Sandy Grossman. I loved Pat Summerall. Loved his voice, loved his delivery, loved his pace.
Who was with him before Madden? Because it wasn't him and Madden at first, right?
No, I don't think at first it was.
Let's see. Let's see here. You don't think it was just Madden at first?
I don't know.
I'll try to find some. But yeah, he was great.
I loved him.
Yeah, he was great. I got a chance.
That's a baritone voice.
I got a chance to hear some Pat Summerall.
Did you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what time did you come into the mix?
Let's see, when did he retire? He was in the 2000s still. Voiceovers and stuff. Yeah, I got a chance to. Come on, man.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
You think I'm 12?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Kids today.
So, yeah, the Carson Wentz boo thing, that's interesting. I think he gets a lot of passes because of who he is and because they went up from 13 to 8 to 2 to draft him and he's the savior, even though he didn't win the Super Bowl, Nick Foles did. I think he gets a lot of passes. Just last week when we asked the question, how long is his leash?
Yeah.
And we meant leash is in until you're critical, but people took it as until he gets pulled. Oh, you should have seen the vile
until
things.
Until he gets pulled?
People thought like, are we going to bench him? Like, no, we're not going to bench him. But you should have seen the vile thing. You want to talk about Sean Rodriguez hearing vile things? The vile things I read on social media that day.
Wow.
Because of the protection that Carson Wentz gets from fans. If he struggles, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes until he gets booed. I know they got booed week one after winning the Super Bowl last year, but I think they were booing the team. I don't know if Carson Wentz individually gets booed.
Okay. What if he's throwing 3 picks? 3 picks in a game. 3 picks and a half.
What week?
Is he immune?
What week?
Week 3 and his first 2 games weren't that good either.
Then maybe. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I think he has immunity.
I think some people give him passes.
Yeah, I think some people give him passes. I do.
Why is that?
Because he's our guy. He's going to be the guy that wins you 5 Super Bowls. That's what people think.
We've had our guy before. I mean, maybe because he's slotted to be our guy, right? But our guys, Mike Schmidt got booed. You know.
Yeah, but I'm even just thinking about the Eagles. I mean, Donovan McNabb was killed, and he's the best quarterback in franchise history. But people didn't like it the day he was drafted. A lot of people wanted Ricky Williams over Donovan McNabb.
Sure.
People wanted Carson Wentz. I think it's almost like the Reese Hoskins effect. Like, he's our guy, so I'm not going to boo him. Maybe eventually he gets booed. You're right. Like, I don't think it's going to go 16 weeks. If he struggles for 16 weeks, obviously come week 8, he's going to be getting booed.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know how critical people... I'm going to be critical of him after the first half.
I'm going to get killed if anyone reads that article, but I think he's going to be good.
Okay.
I think he's going to be good when he's upright, if he's healthy.
If he's healthy, yeah.
I think he's going to be good.
That's his middle name.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. Chris in Jenkintown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
One more week, baby. All caps.
I can't wait, man. It's can't wait. I'm tired of the preseason.
Listen, I got a beef with this Carly Lloyd.
You know, go ahead. What do you got?
I was just wondering, is that a joke or what? That she's going to try and kick
it? No, apparently she was contacted by some NFL teams. Is it a joke?
Okay.
Yes. I mean, she actually got contacted, but I think it's a joke.
She's an unbelievable talent for her soccer, and I applaud her for that. She got a great leg. But what's she going to pull, like a Gary Premium and just, like, walk off the field?
Right. Get off the field.
Because, you know, if there's a bobble or snap, these guys are going to murder her.
That's my point. You're doing a fire drill back there on a bad snap, and she's out there?
I also say, what if she's a good enough kicker where you don't mind if she runs away from the play? I mean, is Jake Elliott making tackles?
You can't find a male better kicker than Carly Lloyd?
I wouldn't mind giving her a shot.
Because she's a girl.
No, because I saw the video.
She took about 8 steps.
I think some of these media guys...
It was impressive. What's that, bro?
Don't you think some of these media guys are going way overboard with her?
In terms of what?
Publicity.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people. I mean, if you see, I've seen videos of guys on YouTube making 80-yard field goals, but they were by themselves and there was no line in front of them. So, and people freak out about it, but then they never get a look, right?
That's a big leg.
Yeah.
And 5 steps they're taking.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Chris, real quick, what's the player that's more famous? Because we're up against it.
I would say Dwayne The Rock, but I don't know if he played pro ball, but he played it to you.
He played it to you.
I'll put you
that's
on hold
fantastic.
For that. The Carly Lloyd thing, we'll get into that a little bit. I'm okay if teams want to give her a workout. Just like you go back to the Colin Kaepernick thing. Whether you believed he should play or not, if the guy should get a workout. Right? Because, it's been 3 years since he's played. Okay, we'll give him a workout. See if he can still do it.
But are you giving her a workout because it's an anomaly and she's a female and she's famous already? Like, think about it. What are you actually going after there?
Well, there's obviously a PR move to it.
Sure.
There is. Like,
that's why they called her to play in the last preseason game.
Yeah, two teams did.
Yep.
I mean, let's be real. There is a PR move to it.
Okay.
But if she is more talented than other kickers that are out there...
She's more talented?
If she is. We don't know if. You got right. She said she wants a year of training. Right? She's never trained to be an NFL player.
Sure.
She's trained to be a soccer player.
Right.
Give her a year of training. She's more athletic than I am.
She's got a big leg.
I can't kick a 55-yard field goal, whether I'm taking 20 steps or two. I love how Chris is going, well, she had 5 steps. Okay.
Still banging 55 yards.
I guarantee you, Chris and I together can't kick 55 yards.
Not off even a black tee. It was right off the grass, which is hard to do.
Yes. So, yeah, you know what? She took 5 steps, but Chris isn't kicking a 55-yard field goal.
It's perfect kick.
He's all high and mighty, but what, just because she's a woman? I don't know. Give her a shot. Let her work out for a year. We'll see what happens.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Because I'd be curious to see how she does and what she looks like in a uniform and whatnot. I would love to actually see it. I don't know if I'd love to actually, you know, if they implemented her in the actual NFL and going forward. I don't know about that.
I will see.
I don't want to see her get killed.
I also don't like the, well, what if she needs to make a tackle? Do you see Jake Elliott making tackles? I know he's the last line of defense.
Sometimes these guys, you know, David Akers used to stick his nose in there.
Yeah, sometimes they just try to trip him up. Sometimes they run away. We'll continue this conversation. Right. And to Carson Wentz as well. 610-632-0975. He's Joe Sazak. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for the Midday Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitis Middays. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we have one open phone line, and we'll get to the phones in a second. But, Joe, I have a life question for you.
What do you got?
So, our bathroom right outside the studio here, it was being cleaned. It seems like every time I have to go to the bathroom, it's being cleaned. Okay. I appreciate it that it's going to be clean, but sure. I probably won't go the rest of the show, and I won't have a clean bathroom. When's the last time in your adult life that you actually clogged the toilet? Like, I'm being serious with this question.
Probably recently, because we don't have a ton of water pressure, I guess, because they clog easily.
Oh, so you actually have recently?
Yes.
Oh, never mind then.
It happens way too much here.
Yes.
Where, like, you'll go in and it smells terrible. It's because the toilet's clogged.
And here, the water pressure is strong.
It's strong.
Oh, if you're not careful, it'll suck you through.
So, I'm just wondering, like, at some point in your adult life, you should know when it's going to get clogged. And if you know when you're about to hit that limit, you should flush it and then continue doing your business afterward.
Sure, it's a bad call. Bad call when you do
and
that.
And Pat's right. Like, I had to run upstairs to go to the bathroom, and there was two clogged toilets.
Are you serious?
Two. I'm like, how does this happen?
You know what's really bad is sometimes somebody will clog it on a Friday night, and we'll come in here on, like,
sit
the
there
weekend.
All weekend.
Yes.
It's like, you know, and literally, if you just press the button, like, twice, it'll usually unclog, because, as you said, it's so powerful.
It's big-time pressure.
Big time. We got big-time pressure
big
here.
Big-time pressure at, here.
That's one, a big-time snub by who's ever blown up the bathroom.
Yes, of course.
Big-time snub, bro.
But, like,
big-time snub, man.
But I just, like, come on. After a few years of being an adult, you should know when it's like, all right.
Time to flush.
I can't understand how guys miss the toilet so much.
Yeah.
Like, just grab it and aim. It's not difficult. And yet, like, I swear some of these guys show up and they're like, they put their hands up and just let it go where they want. And you go into the bathroom and literally it's just like there's urine everywhere.
A lot of splash.
It's like, just grab it and aim.
Come on, Pat. This is a family show. We're talking about clogged toilets.
Sorry, my bad.
This is a family show.
I'll keep it on track.
610-632-0975. Let's go to Bob in Phoenix. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
I'm doing well, thank you. Hey, listen, I'll give you my guess on famous people. That would be Bob Uecker.
Very good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All his appearances on Johnny Carson, I think he became far more well known after his playing career. So that's my guess.
That's a good one. We'll put you in the run for that one.
Did anyone know him while he was playing?
Yeah.
Did anyone know him while he was playing?
Right, let's look up his career stats. What do you got on Carson Wentz?
I don't think they were good.
He played, Uecker played originally for the Braves, I believe.
Yeah, now I'm pulling him up. What do you got on Carson Wentz?
Oh, Carson Wentz. I think before he can be considered elite, three things have to play into it. One, and it's already been talked about, is availability. He also has to play smart, and that doesn't mean just getting down when he should, but also his football intelligence, like reading defenses and knowing his progressions. And the last thing is his athleticism, and I think he's got that. I think he's proved that, but availability and playing smart, that's still questionable.
Yeah, and we appreciate the call, Bob. We'll put you in the running for Bob Uecker. I think he is a smart football player.
I think he's highly intelligent.
Yes. I mean, you see some of the throws he makes.
Sure.
Obviously, Patrick Mahomes was everybody's darling last year because he was a rookie.
Deservedly so.
Yeah, and
50 touchdowns. Wow.
Exactly. Not that I think, do I think Carson Wentz is to come out and throw 50 touchdowns this year? No, I don't think he's going to come out and throw 50 touchdowns this year, but I think he is a very intelligent basketball football player. I mean, you see him changing plays at the line, the kill and all that kind of stuff. He was doing that in the first week of his career. He was doing that kind of stuff.
I don't think you can be stupid and be a quarterback in this league.
It's right.
So much, so complicated.
I think he's a very intelligent player.
I think so.
Is he intelligent when he is reaching his arm out for 1 yard instead of throwing the ball out?
No.
No. But does that make him stupid or does that make him overly aggressive? I think that makes him overly aggressive.
Yeah, probably, but it's a stupid move.
If he continues to do it this year for a third year after two season-ending injuries, then we might start questioning his intelligence in that aspect of the game. Nobody thinks he's a stupid quarterback.
No, I don't.
I don't.
I think he's very intelligent.
And it's just the injuries. Like, the thing that you're concerned about the most is the injuries.
Of course.
You think he's a very good quarterback.
I do.
It's the injuries and not playing in a playoff game.
Right.
And by the way, your article is up on 97.5thefanatic.com. So that is where you can read the article from Joe Stazek. And again, I read this paragraph to start the show. And this is a paragraph that I want you guys to really consider before calling in, because we've been talking about Carson Wentz throughout the show and whether or not he's close to being called an elite quarterback. I think he's close to being there, but Joe has a couple of things that he needs to see from Carson this year. And here's a paragraph. So where does that leave us? In my opinion, we don't have enough empirical data to label him yet. I need to see more. He's considered the franchise quarterback and certainly can blow your doors off. But there are some question marks. He's injury prone. He's fighting aberration. He's coming off a subpar season. And the clutch gene is murky at best. He's never played in a playoff game, let alone win one. And oh, by the way, he's not having the best training camp. That is from a paragraph from your article that's on 97.5thefanatic.com. And of course, you also mentioned that Nick Foles does have that clutch gene.
He does. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, he won the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Goes into Chicago. I know he didn't play all that great, but he needed to play great on that 12-play, 60-yard drive.
Fourth down.
And fourth down, hit Golden Tate. Yeah, he's got the clutch gene. He's clutch.
Carson Wentz, we haven't seen that yet.
Haven't seen it.
In the fourth quarter.
Haven't seen it yet.
So we'll find out. By the way, Bob Uecker, in 6 years. 6 years, he actually played for the Phillies back in 1966.
Yeah, I think I knew that, actually, yeah.
A career 200 hitter. 14 home runs.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
He 14 ding dongs?
Yeah.
Really?
It wasn't great.
Wow.
But you know who's not much better than him? Andrew Knapp, and he's on the roster. He has more home runs than Andrew Knapp does. Andrew Knapp's only been in 3 years. But
what's Knapp got?
Knapp has 8 home runs in 3 years, and he's hitting .220 in his career.
Oof.
But he's got he hit .198 last year. He's currently hitting .198 this season. Bob Uecker. Oh, he's had a couple years under .200. All right, let's get.
Oh, yeah, Bob Uecker was not a good player.
I was going to make the case that Bob Uecker is better than Andrew Knapp.
He's not a good player.
I can't do that. He was also a catcher, though.
He's also a book. Or he wrote a book.
Did he?
Yeah, it's called The Catcher in the Rye. Or The Catcher and the Rye. I swear to God, look it up. Like, he did a play on words with To Catcher in the Rye or whatever it's called.
Holden Caulfield.
That crappy book that they made us read in school. But yeah, he wrote a book that was
an okay book.
It was terrible.
I liked it, actually.
It sucked. And he wrote a book of very similar name to it. Just to kind of like, I guess, you know, if there's like some mom out there that doesn't know the difference, she bought the Bob Uecker book.
So he's
That's
made,
great.
He's made some bones off
Tremendous.
Of that. All right, let's go.